Thank you. Praise the Lord. Now take your pulpit, open yourself and follow me, Jesus says. I was thinking of speaking about, I hope you will bear with my East European accent for a bit, and other weaknesses for this morning, but I was thinking of speaking about Christianity for a bit this morning. I was thinking about Buddhism and Islamism and other isms might be there, speaking about them, but no, Christianity is better, I think. Only kidding, sorry. So Christianity it is for this morning. Is it all right?
Good.
And to describe Christianity in very few words, what would it be like? That's my point today anyway, but we come to that in a minute. But I would like to start from somewhere else, actually. Like I would tell something quite human to start with. I think we have been born with a special thing built in us. And the special thing is our desire or urge to impress, I think. We have this need to impress. As babies impress their moms that they need food and other things, and they make some noise. And this is how it works. And we grow older, and the boys need to impress their mates about their strength, and the girl need to impress boys about their beauty and other things. And so life goes on about impressing each other. And we come to church, and does it stop? Does it stop there? Are we stopping to trying to impress? I don't know about you, but I haven't stopped. I even here today, I try to impress yourself. I'm hoping to impress you something good. And I think it's partly just built in. We can't escape it. And it's the way the Lord has made us. So Paul knows about it. And then he talks about it in his famous chapter. I will read it in a moment. About spiritual impressions. Here it comes. It's too big Bible for preaching. So, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels, I mean, who would like to speak in tongues of angels, or why? It's an interesting question, eh? So, but probably, I mean, sometimes we want to impress God or ourselves or our kids or whatever. It would be nice to speak angelic language to do that. But not have love. I am only a rousing gong and clashing cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have something else is coming, but I mean, it would be nice to know all the secrets and bring them out. And it's nice to know prophetically about stuff and help other people by doing that. And it also gives a good feeling if you can do that. And all knowledge, and if I have all faith, that can move mountains. That would throwing mountains into the sea. That would be just a good spectacle. That would be a good kids meeting if we could throw some mountains into the sea. They would love it, I'm sure. But do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, that could be already pretty outstanding thing to do, like give all things away. I mean, some people feel might be relieved actually, but at least it would be something remarkable, I think, if we would be able to do that. But not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it is not proud, it is not dishonoring others, it is not self-seeking, it is angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perceives. Love never fails. Prophecies they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part. For now in part we prophesy and know in part. But when comes completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we only see a reflection as in mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall show. Then I know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So Paul basically says, the inbuilt desire to leave a good impression is, here is a way. Actually, Christianity was called the way in the beginning. Did you know that, I think? And here is a way described in Paul's words. Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. I mean, the church through its existence, not talking about the early centuries, but later on has been trying to make himself known to the world, like a house on the or candle on the table. And sometimes we have these testimonies of the great churches and other stuff, which are great to look at. But here is something else. If we really want the world to know who we are, then it's a very simple recipe here. Very simple, very ancient, and it always works. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. These are challenging pieces in the Bible. Sometimes almost too challenging. If we open the first John's letter, it's some great passages here or scriptures here that I'm sure I have quoted before because I think they are so important. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. I think we have been convinced about God's love, grace. I mean, in this church, I think we have been convinced about God's love, His grace, His forgiveness, and all the goodness of God that comes down to us through Jesus Christ, goes through us, and does its work in here. I think another convincing still needs to happen. I think it's actually the word that I have received for this church, for this movement, I think, for us generally, for Christians generally of this day, and this is what I'm speaking about. It's very simple. It's not much to say about it. It's just love. And if you do that, I will better read a few things from here. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever doesn't love doesn't know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love to amongst us. He sent his only and one Son into the world, that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atonement sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete. So, God's love is poured upon us by Holy Spirit, but it's going to be made complete if we pass it on, if we share it. Praise the Lord. My wife had something interesting this morning about these things, so she's going to come and share with you a few things.
I bring this God's love to the practical level, because we live on this earth in flesh, with our nerves and everything. I loved so much that Carl started to read in the morning. The first message was, God loves those who love him. This is our daily life. Who needs love? Our family, our children. And I'm so happy to see that there are so many children in the church. This is the atmosphere where you can bring them, because sometimes it's a bear to teach them or discipline them or trying to raise them up like a proper way, telling them what is good, what is not good. But what, as children, we pick up from our parents is that the atmosphere, the presence of God. If we look, we sometimes pray that God, open my eyes to see you. Open my eyes to see love. And love is what I already read here, what Paul wrote us. Everything what really amazed people. God has compassion, is patient. The one practical moment when I was in hospital and I visited him every day. And that was a surprise for me. One day he could speak again. And first thing what about he was talking to me was about God's compassion for mankind. And he was crying because somehow the eyes were opened to see a little bit of God's compassion. And God is going to surprise us in the heaven when our eyes will be opened. He will surprise us about love, because he is love. And as a children, what we pick up from our parents, as a God children, what do we become from God's love, God as our Father? I remember when I was a teenager, I was the third child in our family. And I used to like this fairy tales that the father had three children. They two of them were good, like wise and doing good things, but the third one, I was quite rebellious. But in my heart, I picked up from home to honor God, to really have the really relation with God. And I often was out late. I was with my friends. They were actually Christian friends because I rise up in the church. The same what happens to the kids here. I came sometimes home 2 o'clock in the and what my dad did, I had to knock at the window to get in. I always saw him sitting at his desk. Bible was opened. I had to knock the window. And he just stood up, closed the Bible, and came and opened the door for me and said, "Hello, I'm going to bed now." That's it. What do we like to do with our children? We have like to touch them, like teach them what you did before, how you behave today again. But what I remember of my dad really loved me. He didn't show all his troubles, what he went through in his heart because of me. And I got so many prayers. It's always with me and my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren because he prayed for me. Even on the wedding, the blessing prayer, he prayed that our children will be blessed and grandchildren. I thought, oh, I'm not thinking of children right now. But you see, if you bring the children to the God's present and you give the feeling to them that they are loved, even when, if they are not behaving good, because the world wants to so put the finger, you are wrong, you have mistaken again. But God says that I love you, just wants to comfort us. And if we can little bit see this God's compassion for people, we like to comfort our children in the troubles where they are. God is love. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. When I was sitting here, I was thinking about what Carl said earlier about this brotherhood, and I was thinking that it didn't start with me, but it started with a few young people, girls and boys, who started to take care of the drunks, the people who had been drinking all their life and were about in their 30s, 40s maybe, 50s. And what they did, they actually obeyed the Lord, I thought. Revival is a supernatural, what we believe, I think, is revival is a supernatural intervention of God into the certain era, into the certain area, into the certain church. And it's God's work. We cannot make it happen. But I think we can do one thing, torch revival, if we will. And that's the obedience, I believe. Obedience to the word, I think, brings the kingdom. Where there is king, the subjects would obey, right? And when kingdom comes. And John wrote his letter when he was already older man, around maybe year 95 in Ephesus. All the other apostles had already passed. He's the last one. John was the last apostle when he lived in Ephesus and wrote this letter. So it's like the apostolic testament, if you like. The most important things. John doesn't get tired of saying, this is the command that Jesus gave us. You must love each other. This is the command. This is the command. This is the most important thing. Don't forget about it. If then you will have nothing. to Ephesians church, the other church, and later on we know that he also wrote from Patmos in the Revelation the same message actually to the Ephesians. I'm not sure if they heard in the end or not, because historically we know that the Ephesian church didn't thrive actually. It stopped somewhere in the year 260 or something. The Ephesian church was no more because what it says in the Revelation, if you don't turn, then this will happen to you. And I think it's almost like the same for today's Christianity. I'm not speaking about this because I'm etalon of this, or I am somebody who's a super example of this. But I'm probably speaking like somebody who's seen something. Hey, let's turn around. This way, not that way. That leads to the pit. Turn around. Love one another. That's the way. If we keep going other way, we're just gonna end up in the wherever, but not in the where we want it to be. Because and, the busyness and the stress of life and everything is pushing us other way. You know what I mean? We just have. Katrin was talking about practical things. We just often don't have time. We theoretically we love each other, of course we do, absolutely. But practically we just don't have time. And I don't know how we're gonna fix it. We need super help from the Lord and from the Holy Spirit. Otherwise it's gonna be a pfft. We're gonna not thrive. That's what the Lord said for the Ephesian church, and I think that's what the Lord is saying as well to us. Just turn around, go other direction, start loving more. I mean, we do. I mean, I'm sure we do, and I can see we do, and I have heard and seen the marks that we do love each other and practical things in this very church. But we can rise higher. That is the little message that I got this morning. Sorry, it was slightly heavy, but there's also great hope. The Holy Spirit is being poured out, and the Holy Spirit is the one that actually helps us to do that. And it's the very Christianity. It's a very Christianity thing to do, love each other. So remember that, please. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Brilliant, eh?